Well, good morning again. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going through the book of Genesis. We're going to go through about the first 11 chapters, then we're going to take a break, do a New Testament book, and then come back to Genesis. And so now we're on this very well-known story of Noah and the Ark. And it's actually quite a long story if you go through line by line, verse by verse. It's going to take a while to get through it. So we're going to only get part of it done today. I titled the sermon, A Man Who Walked with God, and that's Noah. Noah wasn't perfect, but the Bible describes him, like Enoch, as somebody who walked with God. And we'll spend quite a bit of time thinking about that for ourselves today. Well, just to begin with, let's go ahead and read the scripture that we're going to focus on today, and then we'll go through and we'll look at it line by line, verse by verse. But Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 is where we're going to pick up here. And it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence, and through them, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, its height, 30 cubits. Make a room for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with the lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive, and take with you every sort of food that is eaten and stored up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him." That's the passage that we're looking at. And as we go on here and we look at kind of the outline of what it is that we just read, we can think about it, what it said. First part was about Noah. I could have put up here, Noah was a righteous man. He walked with God. That was how he was described. The second part was about the people of the earth and what the earth was like and how the earth was corrupt. And specifically, the specific thing that's mentioned a couple times in there is violence. It was filled with violence. So we have this picture of the earth being a very violent place. You know, was it a lot more violent than it is today? Quite possibly. It was more like ruled by the strong, aggressive, violent people. But they really had a taste for violence and really loved violence. And this wasn't good. This wasn't pleasing to the Lord. The next thing talks about is how he's going to send a flood and he's going to wipe out everyone, everywhere, all people, animals. He's going to just clean it out. It's like he's starting over again. But he's going to save some, and some are going to be saved in the ark. And inside the ark, they'll be saved. And that is the next thing that we see there. And Noah gets to be blessed by God and saved because he found favor in God's sight. And then he mentions this, and this isn't given here, but it's just talked about, that there's a covenant between God and Noah. He promises that he's going to establish his covenant with Noah. And so I put that as a very significant point, because the covenants in the Bible are very important and very significant. And it's one way that we can kind of look at and understand the Bible. We understand that God has made different covenants throughout time. And we can look at that. And it's part of God's revelation. And we'll talk about that a little bit more here as we go. And then the last thing I have in the outline is Noah's obedience to God. God commanded all these things of Noah, and in faith, Noah obeyed God. And that's a significant and important thing that we can take away too. All right, so We're going to go through it. We're going to, as much as possible, go through these verses and talk about them verse by verse as we go through. That's the next thing that we're going to do here. But so let's go back, take it back to the beginning. And if any of you were not here last week, because there were a lot of you that were not here last week, and welcome back to those who are coming back. I missed you last week. And I think that Pat and all the people that sang up here, they missed everyone up here that usually sings too. And we all missed your beautiful singing voices, so glad to have you back. But we covered a little bit of Genesis before this, which talked really about how when God looked out and he looked at man, you know, everything that he saw was just evil in his heart. Every intention, every thought, everything he had was evil. And that was the condition, and that's what we saw there. And it picks up, so this is kind of a continuation of that. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Now remember, in the book of Genesis, you see that phrase used several times, these are the generations. And every time, it's kind of denoting a new section in the book. And so this is kind of starting a new section, this story about Noah and what happens here with the flood. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, a couple things here. We need to understand biblical righteousness. Because I think in our minds, in our pictures, one of the concepts that we have is that, okay, Noah was just this really good guy. Everyone else was really rotten, everyone else was really bad, but Noah was really good. So God liked him more because he was really good. And if you look at kind of the whole theme of the Bible, that's typically not really how it is. It's like we all are sinners. We all are filthy before God. We all do terrible things that we shouldn't do. And we don't earn God's favor because of our performance and what we do. There are other reasons why God shows his favor on us, and we just don't deserve it. So it wasn't so much that he deserved it. When we talk about righteousness, and I hope that everyone in the sound of my voice here desires to live a righteous life and to be righteous before God. To be righteous. But to be righteous, biblical righteousness only comes by faith in God. Biblical righteousness comes by faith in God. It doesn't come by works. It doesn't come by acts. So when we read those little kid stories of the book, of the story of Noah, you know, we always kind of have this picture of it was just because he was so good. All right, and that might have been that he was a good man, but there was a reason why he was the man that he was, and it goes back to his faith in God. Righteousness only comes by faith. And we see this in Scripture. For instance, you've heard this. It's in Habakkuk 2:4. It says, the righteous will live by faith. You want to know what a righteous person is? What they look like? They're a person who lives by faith. And this is mentioned several times in the New Testament as the New Testament teaches us how to correctly understand the law and the Old Testament. And basically, like these other passages, if you'll write them down and you'll go look at them and read them in context, they're saying that, you know what, as hard as you try to earn God's favor by keeping the law and by doing what's good and following a code and a set of rules, you'll find that that can never ever happen because you will always stumble and fall. And the fact is, as we talked about last week, we have a sin nature and there's something that's greatly wrong with us. As much as we try to do the right thing, we sin and we think the wrong thoughts and we have the wrong motives. And it says that there's a righteousness that's apart from keeping the law. It comes by having faith in God and having faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the revelation. So what I believe and what I'll teach is progressive revelation, which is, you know, you don't have the full story back in the book of Genesis, but God continues to reveal more and more of Himself throughout the Bible as He goes. And so we have a lot of the answers later on, but we know we can look at this and we can take what we understand, what God has revealed to us, is that a person is not righteous because they do good things. They're righteous because they have faith. So Noah had faith. He had faith in God. Now, more about this, understanding biblical righteousness. Abraham was an example for us. Abraham is a model and a picture of biblical righteousness. It says Abraham believed God, or some passages say the Lord. The Lord is God. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham, which we're going to get to in Genesis, it's going to be our second look into Genesis. Abraham, God told him to go, and he went. God made promise that looked like it was unbelievable. Like, who would ever believe this promise that God made? You know, that you're very much an old man, but you and your wife are still going to have kids, and you're going to have many offspring. You know, who could believe that But Abraham believed it because of the one who was saying it, because God promised it. And it says that God credited that to him as righteousness. Not the things that he did, but his faith in what he believed. And so it's the same way with you and me. Like, for instance, where God says that you're very much alive, you're in this world, you're living, but you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to go live somewhere. You're going to live either in eternity without God, completely separated from Him, or you're going to live with Him. And you're going to live forever and have eternal life. And one place is really cool. The other place is really hot. Okay? But these things, I'm not making these things up, but that's what the Bible says. That's what the promises are. But what's the difference? You know, how does God, you have to be righteous to be in this place. You have to be righteous to go to heaven. You have to be righteous to have eternal life. You have to be righteous to know that, hey, when I die, it's okay. I leave this life, I'm going to go on, I'm going to live forever with my Savior. But it's because I believe. That's what the Bible teaches. Because I believe that He told me this thing that seems unreal and just seems like, how could that possibly be? And it's so far out there and it's so far different from just what we experience. But we have to have faith in it. And it's that belief that we have that the Bible says saves us, because God credits that to us as righteousness. And so it was the same always. It's always been the same. Believe God. God sees that as righteous. When you trust Him, when you believe Him. And then why do we do the right thing? Why do we want to be living a life that's good and that we make good choices? Because we love Him and we love what He's done for us. And it's what we give back to Him, and we just want to be obedient to Him and just faithful, obedient children. And so that's the picture that you'll see, and it's just a theme of the Bible, and it's continued in the Bible. Believe God. That's righteous. So what can we think about Noah? Noah believed God. And you see that when when God said, hey, do this, build this ark, a flood's coming, it's going to happen. He wouldn't have done the things that he did if he didn't believe what God had said and believe what God said he was going to do. And so believing in God is what is making us righteous. Okay, now, what is walking with God? That's another thing it says about Noah. He walked with God, and that's another important concept. Now, listen, if you were in Sunday school today, you got the big version of this, okay? Amen? Amen. Was that a good time? I hope it was. I was having fun. And it's always bad when you're in a Sunday school class or some class and the teacher's having fun, but the students aren't. That's not good. You know? But I didn't get the sense that's how it was. I got the sense that we were all kind of soaking this up. We went through and we talked about walking with God in a lot more detail. You're going to get just a few minutes on this. We spent, you know, about 45 minutes on this, on walking with God. And so Sunday school, by the way, is going to be coming to an end for the year. We break for the summer. June 14th is our last meeting. And so we're going to start it again in the fall. And so if you're not part of Sunday school, you've only got a few more weeks, you can come check it out. But getting a part of it in the fall is a really good idea, because we do a lot of study and we just, iron sharpens iron, right? We're in there sharpening each other. So I would invite you to be there. But here is some information on walking with God. Help us understand that a little bit more. It says Noah walked with God. Walking with God, this is a product of faith. It was a product of his faith. He believed God. And then it's a relationship. So Christianity is not just a moral code, but it's an actual relationship with a real, true God who loves you so much that He intervened on your behalf. Sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. If you were the only person on the earth, He would have died for you. If you're the only person that would accept Him, He would die for you. It's a thing. It's a relationship. And that when you believe in Him and you receive Him, He says He comes and lives in you, in your life. And His Holy Spirit is with you and shaping you and helping you to grow and helping you to see things and helping you to have endurance and persevering you to the very end. Amen. That's the relationship. And you think you have a best friend. Well, I know some of you have BFFs, right? BFFs. I mean, I see that. Some of you young girls have about 15 BFFs. And I'm from the generation where you don't have more than one best friend. You know, it's like you got one best friend. You know, it's like Miss Janelle here. She has like about 18 million favorite songs. You know, everyone's her favorite. You know, how could that be? But let's just talk about who your best friend is. I'm not talking about BFF like, you know, you got 10 of them. I'm talking about your very best friend in all the world is the Lord. And if you have Him in your life and He's guiding and directing you, you know, you can go anywhere. You can face anything, any obstacle, because God is right there with you. He's the best friend that you could ever have. And so that's the relationship. And that's what it means to walk with God. We're walking in a relationship with Him. And this is described in the Bible. And I've got 10 words or phrases that I picked out of the Bible. There are more, but these were kind of some I thought were used most frequently that I saw here that give us an idea of what it means to walk with God. And this is what we spent all our time on in Sunday school. We're not going to have time to actually look up all these passages, but I would encourage you to write them down and look at them yourself and read them. It'd be good devotion for this week in your quiet time with the Lord. Think about it. I hope that if you're here, you want to be one who walks with God. That you're hearing this, you know, I want that to describe my life. I want to be somebody who just truly walks with God. I'm in that close relationship. Walking. I'm not trying to run out ahead of Him. I'm not trying to stay behind Him. I'm just walking right with Him. And this is giving you a little idea more of what it looks like. First word that I picked out, and we see this in a lot of passages, and it's in this one here as mentioned, is that if you're going to walk with God, if you're truly walking with God, it's in faithfulness. Faithfulness to Him. First of all, it's full of faith. That was a key word we had. Faith. This is all about faith. You got to believe in Him. You know, you want to be true to Him. He can depend on you. That you're trustworthy, I think, could be another way that we would say that. But there's a faithfulness and a dependability, and it continues. And you can be left alone in situations, and you'll be faithful. And so there's a lot of pictures in the Bible of people who were faithful in situations. Now, nobody's 100% faithful all the time, right? But just in general, in the pattern of your life, if you're walking with God, you're being faithful to Him. And some of the things that we see that help us understand that are not what we're to be is unfaithful. Like an unfaithful husband or wife, that's not right, that's not a good thing. That's not the picture of what we are to be. We see idolatry in the Bible, how the nation of Israel was unfaithful to God, went after other gods, other idols, other things. So we don't want to be faithful to something in place of God, make an idol. So faithfulness, integrity, and I'll give you actually just both these at the same time, 2 and 3. Integrity and uprightness. Integrity means that you can be trusted when it's just you all by yourself to do the right thing. You know, like maybe you're watching cable TV all by yourself, or you're on the internet all by yourself, or you're looking at watching some particular show or something all by yourself. You can be trusted to do the right thing. You show integrity. You're doing your business. Nobody's watching. Uncle Sam can't see. You're doing your taxes. Are you going to do it right? Are you going to have integrity in your life? If you don't, that's not walking with God. Right? You're not walking with God if you choose to not show integrity, if you cheat on your taxes, if you cheat on your husband or your wife. And if maybe, when I say cheat on your husband or wife, I mean if you look at pornography, that's cheating on your husband or wife, because you're supposed to be fully devoted to them with all your heart. You know, if you, I have to pick on ladies a little bit too, because a lot of times guys get hammered with the pornography thing. If you're into these like romance stories, which are anything but Christian, they're anything but what the Word of God teaches, and there's just lots of filth in there that would actually cause you to not be content with your husband, then that's not being faithful. And so if you want to, or it's not showing integrity, uprightness, so if you want to walk with God, you have to look at your life, you have to examine those things and try to get those things out. Okay, uprightness means like you don't have to hide things. Like, okay, if you're sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, I wonder if the pastor could see this book that I was reading. I would hate for him to see that. It's right here with me. Actually, I gotta hide this. No. Okay, that's not uprightness. Uprightness, you know, you can just live it out in public. Just write who you are. You don't have to have secrets. You don't have to hide it, you know. So same thing, guys. You know, God knows everything that's on your internet. I mean, fact is, everybody else knows it too, that you don't realize that Comcast and all those other people see all that too, right? And if a court of law, if it ever came up, you know, they can check it out and they can see what everyone's been looking at. So, you know, but the thing is, uprightness means that, you know, anyone could come and look at it. You don't have anything to hide. To live that way, that's walking. That's walking with God. Now, another one, wholehearted devotion. To be just with all your heart. Now, how many of you like people that do things half-heartedly? I don't. I appreciate people that do things wholeheartedly. But I'm going to come up with an example here of half-heartedness. Half-hearted quilting, Linda. Half-hearted quilting, that was my idea. But no, what you appreciate is, you know, when somebody pours their heart into something, they do it like with all their heart. I think of sports. Somebody who plays football with all their heart. They go out there and they play wholeheartedly. But see, to be a Christian, to be walking with God, it doesn't mean that you do this half-heartedly. It means you put all your heart into it. You pour your heart into it. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Not devotion to something else, but it's all of your heart. You just give all your heart to it. And that's what it means to walk with God. So if you're half-hearted about it, then that means you're not walking with God. You can't be described as one who walks with God. Amen? There's a wholeheartedness. Now, I gave the picture. How many of you like apples? Gave this in Sunday school. I'm going to give it again because you like apples. I know Ralph likes apples, and I like Ralph's apples. They're really good. For those of you who don't know, Ralph has an apple orchard, tasty apples. And I find that the ones that look the best, the shiniest, aren't always the ones that taste the best. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. So sometimes these beautiful apples at the store, they don't taste as good as apples I pick off Ralph's trees and things. Now, if I had an apple here, and it was a whole apple, and I said, hey, do you want this? It's one of Ralph's good apples. What would you say? Probably say yes, unless you're, oh, I hate apples. I don't like apples. I like oranges. Okay. Apples. Give you an apple, and you'd eat it. But like if I said, hey, first, just wait a second. I'm going to give you this apple. Wipe all the like apple juice just running down my face and getting all over my shirt and in the mic and everything. I go, here, take it. Do you want it? How many of you want it then? Only if you're very hungry. But I tell you, I think in all my life, I have never shared an apple with somebody. I joked with the kids on the way to school this last week. I did it and I was like, you guys want this? You know, they turned me down. They all said no. Sarah, why? Don't want my apple that I've half-eaten apple. But see, that's the picture of our heart when we don't give our heart fully to the Lord, when it's only like partially given to Him. That it's like a half-chewed up apple. Who in the world in their right mind wants a half-chewed up apple? And it gets all brown and ugly looking too, doesn't it? Okay, so it's wholehearted devotion to Him. Obedience. If you look all the places where walking with God, all those places in the Bible, you're going to see obedience talked about again and again and again. Obedience, being obedient to God. That to really truly walk Him, you're obedient. So you can't say, oh yeah, I'm walking with God, but I'm choosing to be disobedient over here. Those things are not consistent. Number six is you're walking, and I have to see it's with or in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord. What is it that you're obedient to? You're obedient to God's Word. You're obedient to God's Word. So, here's the thing. Here's where the rubber meets the road. If you are walking with God, then you're going to, the overall pattern of your life is going to be one of obedience to Him. If you choose to be disobedient, to live a life that's not obedient to His law, to His Word, then you're not walking with God. It can't be said that that person is walking with God. That can't be said. Now, I'm not saying that person can't be saved, that there's not forgiveness for them, they can't still have a relationship with God. Okay, they could still be living a very carnal way, they could still know the Lord. It's not for me to decide, it's for God. But one thing is, they're not having a faithful walk with God at this time. If they're choosing a life that is contrary to God's Word, that's not being faithful to God, that's not walking with Him. And so to walk with God, you're walking in His Word. And so one thing is, we got to know the Word of God, don't we? That's why we all here need to be lifelong students of the Bible and the Word, and to learn what it says and to grow in the Word and for it to change our lives. And that's why every week we preach from the Bible and we go through books. We're just trying to learn what the Bible actually says so we can actually live it in our lives. Amen? And then, so that's the thing. So, but we want to be walking with God in His law, in His Word. Okay, there's a healthy walk with the Lord, there's fear and reverence for Him. We're in awe of Him. We respect Him. You know, if it's kind of like the best picture I could think is is when you have a very good dad who is loving but firm, who will discipline you if you get off track. If you do the wrong thing, he will. He's the perfect father, but the love is perfect too, right? He's not just a hard person. But even if you have that perfect dad, if you choose to sin and do the wrong thing, you have every reason to fear him, right? Because he's going to discipline you. And that's God. Every reason to fear him. We respect him. We're in reverence of him. We're in awe of him. We want to honor him. And that should be there. And if we're going to do the wrong thing, yes, we should be trembling in fear. Because he has so much power over us and our lives. And we only exist for his good pleasure. Amen? It could be over. Boom! Just like that. And the thing is, let me soften that a little bit though by saying, being over is not a bad thing necessarily. Because God could take us home to be with him. This is a temporary opportunity. Any of you guys ever work a temporary job? Being a temp somewhere? You're temps here on this earth. You are temps. This is not your home. If you're walking with God, if you're a follower of his, this is not your home. Your home's in heaven with him. So ultimately to go and to be with him is better than to be here. And sometimes when God has a Christian who's struggling so much with sin or something, he just takes him home. That's one reason the Bible says that God will just take believers home sometimes. And they're saved. It talks about how like everything's all maybe burnt up, but God brings them home. But we ought to have fear and respect and reverence for the Lord. That's walking with him. Now, number 8. This is kind of a key. These next 3 are kind of keys that everything kind of hinges on. Because you can't really do all those things that we talked about without this. But in Galatians 5:16, it says that we need to walk by the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the sinful desires of your flesh. That's my own paraphrase. We talked about it in Sunday school. And so that one is key because we can't really obey God without the Spirit, His Spirit living in us. That's a little bit of the bigger picture. So we depend on His Spirit helping us to obey Him, changing us. Do you guys want to change? Is there anybody here who doesn't want to change? It's better when I ask the questions in that way, you know. Okay, raise your hand if you want to change. And people are like, should I raise my hand? I think I'll put it up. But if I ask it this way, is there anybody here who doesn't want to change? Your hands are already down, you know. Everyone feels comfortable, you know. This is easy for you, you know. But, you know, sometimes people come into church and they're like, oh, I don't want to change. I've always been this way. I've always been mean, nasty, tired, angry, with just a fuse. It's just this small, you know. Remember we talked about big fuse. You need to grow a big fuse. You don't blow easily. That was probably the one thing that I've said that people remember more than anything else. I talked about being a person that I want to have a long fuse, so I want to like whip it over my shoulder and carry it in the door, and I want it to be dragging behind me when it comes in the door, gets maybe stuck in the door, or stuck in my car, or something like that. People remember that picture. I don't know why. But we need to be living in the Spirit to be walking with God. We need to be in the light. These passages talk about how we need to walk in the light and that Christ is the light and that we can't, you're either living in darkness or you're living in light. It's one of the two. Okay, and to live in light, there's safety. You think about walking around your house in the dark at night. Have you ever done this and just stubbed your toe on something and just got the nastiest, just hurt toe? But that's just a picture for us. Thank God for His grace that He allowed us to experience that so we can see what it's like to walk around in the dark. But when we live according to His Word and we follow Him or really walking with Him, we're in the light. And then the 10th one is love. We need to walk in love. So if we hate our neighbor and we're not showing love to God and we're not showing love to people around, we're not walking with God. It's these things. Now this isn't everything that you'll find in the Bible, but these were kind of some of the ones that I saw very consistently. I've got a longer list, but I needed to trim it down to a nice even 10 here. You know, walk in love. All right, now let's get back to thinking about why we even talked about this. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. He's blameless, he's righteous because of his faith. Noah walked with God. We can see in the Bible like what it looks like to walk with God. We have a big picture of that, the kind of person that Noah was. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So when God looked down, like it said earlier, all he saw was a very corrupt place and a very violent place. And that's what God looked at and what he saw. It said, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. I'm putting an end to this. You see, sometimes God will only allow something to continue for so long, and then he puts an end to it. He puts a stop to it. And here he puts a stop. He's going to put a stop to this. He says, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the whole earth is so violent, God says, I'm going to destroy it all. I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to start over again, basically is what he's saying. He says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, gopher wood, we don't really know what gopher wood is. Some of your translations may say cypress, because that's what some people think it is, but they don't really know for sure. We don't even know for sure if this exists, if this was a tree or this was a process that the wood was treated with. So there's plenty that we don't know about this. And so that's why I made the joke in Sunday school about the Tacoma Dome being made of gopher wood. I didn't know if anybody got that, but I don't think anybody got it until I just explained it to you. And sometimes you just have to explain your jokes. Those are the best kind. He says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you're to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. A cubit is like a foot and a half. So this is like 450 feet. So how many feet in a 100-yard football field? 300. Okay, so this thing is bigger. It's like a football field and a half. Or if you take the end zones, then it's like another 30 yards there. So this thing is big, very big, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with the lower, second, and third decks. But I think one of the things is this thing was huge. And this isn't something that Noah just put together real quick. And he had to spend what for us would be a lifetime building this thing. He'd do it, probably take a long time. Now, I don't know that for certain. You know, maybe he had ways to do it quicker. But the thing is, it's a very big project for a man and his family to do. I bet you he had his sons help him. I think that's why it was important. Because, come on, dads, if you had this job, would you have your sons help you?
Yes.
I would. Get him out there. Yes, Sam's back there. He doesn't want to. You would want to be on board here. That's the thing. So it's this very big project. We don't know exactly how long it took, but it was a huge undertaking. And you got to think about it. Noah, he could have just said to God, what? What? You want me to dedicate my life to this? You want me to do this? This doesn't make any sense. Noah had every opportunity to rebel against God and say, I don't think so, God. And, you know, I don't think that it's ever rained yet on earth. Never talked about in the Bible as raining at this point. Probably haven't seen a flood. Don't know what a flood is. God says, I'm going to send a flood. There's going to be water everywhere. I'm going to wipe this whole place out. Be ready. Build an ark. Hey, Noah had every reason to look down on that, to be discouraged. And if people mocked him and the different people around him, what they said. But instead he believed God. And he obeyed God. We see that at the end of the chapter here. So, here's where God again, he mentions, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which the breath of life under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. I will establish my covenant with you, he says. Now, he hasn't done that yet, but he's promising that he's going to do it, and it's going to be good, and it's an important thing. But this is the first time covenant is mentioned in the Bible. The first time. Okay, now, it's not the first covenant. Now, here's what a covenant is. It's a contract, it's an agreement, it's a promise that's made between two parties. Now, how many of you have signed some kind of covenant to live where you live? You know, often you have to do that. That's a similar idea, contract, where you have different types of contracts. But God has done this throughout Scripture. And the first mention is here, but it's not the first covenant. It's the second covenant. The first one is with Adam and Eve. What was the covenant with Adam and Eve? Hey, eat any of these from any of these trees, but don't eat from this one. Eat from this one and you're going to die. And God does not have to put it in writing and sign it, you know, like we do today and sign a contract and do those kind of things. But that's what he said. This is my covenant. He didn't call it a covenant, but it very much was the first covenant with Adam and Eve. Now here's a covenant that's going to be coming with Noah. But it's the second covenant. Now there are two types of covenants. And this is something that can help you understand Scripture a little better and interpret it better. There are conditional covenants and unconditional covenants. An example of a conditional covenant was that covenant with Adam and Eve. It said, you know what? If you do this, I will do this. I will allow you to live forever. I will keep you in the garden. I will provide for you. But you have to obey this one law, this one rule. It's a condition, right? And God made some of His covenants conditionally. They're conditional on obedience to Him. And then there are those unconditional covenants, which are our favorite kind. And unconditional covenants are ones that, you know, you can't break. God says, I'm going to promise to do this, and I'm going to make it happen no matter what you do. It's going to happen. My Word says it's going to happen. So God sending His Son into the world, there was no condition on that. He sent His Son in the world despite our sin. He sent His Son into the world. There weren't conditions. And also, when we have the new covenant in our lives, Jesus saving us does not ever become conditional on our obedience to Him. He does it. And He promises He'll come and live in us and save us and change us from the inside out. And He's all the power behind all the change. But He does it. It's unconditional. Unconditional, not dependent on us or our good works. All right, so two types of covenants. We're going to see that. So, but those are good to know. All right, back to this. It says, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And this is a little bit where people get confused. And the stories, it's always showing the animals going in two by two and you're picturing it. And then just a little bit later, we're going to read that some of the animals, the clean animals, seven pairs he sent in. Seven pairs of the clean animals to go in. So to be accurate, some of the animals, there were more than two. Of the birds according to their kinds, and the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten. And guys, I don't think this means pizza and things like that. I mean, I know if you were kind of sitting there thinking, well, does it mean this? And, you know, my favorite thing is fried rice. And no, I mean, I think, you know, every kind of food that they had available that they could take. See, I had to talk about food in this. Okay? It was right there, you know. So every kind of food, you know, bring it. You're going to need it for yourself and for the animals. It shall serve as food for you and for them. And then this is a very key verse at the end. It says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He wasn't just partially obedient. He was fully obedient to the Lord. All right, so I only have just one final word in this, final application, last thing here. Okay? Is this. You can read it, right? It says, are you going to walk with God? And I hope that you're not here today and all this has gone in one ear and out the other and you're not even thinking about it. But I hope, like I said, everyone that can hear my voice is here. And if something's happening in your heart where you're saying, you know what, I want to be like that. I want to be someone that walks with God. I want that to really be what my life really looks like. I desire that for my life. I mean, that's God working that into your heart and putting that into you and making you want that. Now, it's possible for you to be here and for you to not want to walk with God. The Bible makes it clear, you know, there are going to be people in churches that aren't really saved, that don't really have a relationship with the Lord. And so we want to just examine our hearts and say, you know, am I genuine with God? Am I real? Am I truly wanting to walk with God in these ways that we talked about? And then I just want to add on to that is, are you going to want to walk with God even when it's hard? When it's really hard, when nobody else wants to walk with God, nobody else around Noah wanted to walk with God. Are you going to do it when everyone else turns on God? Could you be the only person in this whole county who walked with God? Would you be willing to do that? You remember what we talked about walking with God? All those 10 things that we looked at? Would you be that person? What if your whole family turned on you and said, you know what, we that stuff is terrible. God is bad. God is hateful. God is not real. What if everyone turned on you and said, you know, what is wrong with you? Are you stupid or something? I thought you this is what somebody told me once. I thought you were an engineer. How could you believe in that? Okay, someone told me that once before. But it didn't matter because I want to walk with God. I want to listen to what this other person has to say. And I want to be like, think about the people that we see in the Bible. Think like your guys like Daniel, who could be put in situations where nobody around him was walking with God, but yet he's going to keep walking with God. And that's that integrity that's in the walk that, you know, okay, are you going to walk with God when nobody else is watching? And so these are the kind of things. And I just hope that as you're here that God is so filling you with the desire to walk with Him that He's just put some incredible amount of energy in your walk and in your step that you're going to leave this place today and walk with Him like you've never walked before. That will be my hope. And because you know why I hope that for you? Because I will tell you 100% I hope that for myself. It doesn't mean that I have it all right or that I have the perfect walk. But I want to have a better walk. I want to know what it means to walk with God. I want Him to know me as someone who walks with Him. And that could be you too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this day. Thank You so much for Your incredible love. Thank You that we do have this opportunity to live this temporary life here on this earth and walk with You. And thank You that we can do it in Your strength, in Your love, by Your Spirit, and in Your light. Thank You so much. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.